Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. I'm Mike Pesca for Brian Lehrer. On this morning, when the entire nation is once again trying to grasp and grapple with the senseless killing in Colorado, we will be covering that news as it presents itself. The president is scheduled to speak in the next hour. We will bring that to you, and we will be trying to add some context. Our first scheduled guest is Mark Halperin. He is the Time Magazine Senior Political Analyst, Editor-at-Large, and co-author of Game Change. We're going to be talking about all the campaign news. And, very first, let me welcome you to WNYC, Mark.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And so let's talk about the issues that this shooting raises, namely gun control. So far, the president has just tried to assure anyone who might be nervous that he's not going to take away your guns and that he's going to respect Second Amendment rights. Still, we hear that gun sales are up, and some people don't believe them. Don't believe him. Maybe those are people who would never vote for him in the first place. And I read one gun control expert saying that this is not a fight he's willing to pick. Has it picked him? Is he going to? How do you think this will play out in the campaign?
Well, first, I know all of us think about the families of the victims and hope that as many people in the hospital now can get out healthy. And obviously that community is going to go through a lot. This is an issue the Democrats have not been willing to pick up. Mayor Bloomberg has probably been one of the leaders in the country to try to figure out what could put pressure on the Democratic Party to take up this issue. From a pure political point of view, I don't think this has any chance. The president has exchanged the president's level of outspokenness on the matter. I think he'll certainly speak about the victims. He'll speak about having come together as a nation, but I don't think this will cause him to take up what for Democrats is a very dangerous political issue.
It's dangerous, and I want to ask you about that. You know, national polling does show that gun control is controversial, but there are other controversial issues where it's pretty clear that the Democrats have one position, the Republicans have another, say abortion, and most candidates are willing to engage forcefully on those issues. What is it about gun control? Is it mostly how the rules of the presidential race, that it's about convincing swing voters in swing states, and those people are disproportionately gun owners?
No, I think it's more about the intensity on what you'd call further to the right, not necessarily independent voters or swing voters, but the intensity that this issue causes amongst Americans who believe strongly in the Second Amendment rights. It's a very emotional issue for them. Now, it's emotional for some people who are more in favor of gun control. But in general, and the experience that the Democrats remember is both 1994 and 2000, where you had elections where Democrats became convinced, and there's data to back it up, that the prospect of a party being outspoken on gun control in favor of limiting access to guns is a dangerous one politically. And you haven't seen Democrats talk very much about it at all. I suspect that if Barack Obama could speak his heart, much the way he ultimately did on gay marriage, I suspect that he would talk about gun control more. But as a matter of politics, again, for his advisors and for himself, they just feel it's too risky politically.
Is there any chance that they're wrong about that? That's what the polls say, but maybe if you did something forceful and effective, people would rally around.
It's hard things to measure. I think that it's without a doubt the case that the National Rifle Association and other groups that support Second Amendment rights are not quite as potent politically as they once were. And you've seen over the years, in the last two decades, more efforts at gun control in Washington than you did previously. At the same time, there has been this backlash, and while the premise of your question might be correct, that it might not be as risky politically to take on the issue as some Democrats fear, I think it's pretty clear that most Democrats aren't willing to take the chance. And the Republican Party does not have very many people who are willing to be outspoken on that issue. And one way the Democrats would be more likely to take it on is if it could be in some ways a bipartisan enterprise. And right now the mood of the Republican Party, even more than the Democratic Party, is this is not an issue they want to take on, despite tragedies like we've seen overnight in Colorado.
And I'll also throw one more factor out there. There's really no easy solution. We say gun control as if there was a law to pass that would control guns. And with the amount of guns in our society, with a Second Amendment, with all those factors, you know, there are small steps that can be taken. But it's not as if anyone I know who's an expert on the subject say, pass these two simple bills and we won't have any more mass killings.
Well, that's right. I mean, there have been efforts to track guns better in terms of registration. There have been efforts to limit the access or easy access to things like assault weapons. But this country has a long culture of access to different kinds of weapons. There are a lot of weapons in the United States today that you'd be hard-pressed to get them off the street no matter what laws you passed. And I think for a lot of people, the bigger issue, the more promising remedy is not any effort at gun control, but rather trying to limit the prospect that people in the country who would use guns to kill innocent people would be less likely to do that, not to be able to keep them from getting guns, but to work on issues like mental health and violence and in our media and other things that some connect to the likelihood of the kind of tragedies we've seen today.
Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC, speaking with Mark Halperin. He's Time senior political analyst. He's the editor-at-large of that magazine and co-author of Game Change. Let's pivot. Let's talk about the huge issue that's been in the news. It's going on 2 weeks now. This is the Obama campaign's attempt to tar and taint Romney, Mitt Romney, with his time at Bain. And at issue is whether Mitt Romney had any active role in running his company past 1999. At that point, Mitt Romney was off to run the Utah Olympics, but his name is on some SEC documents. There's evidence that he claimed that he was back in Massachusetts on Bain business, and that's what allowed him to stay a resident of Massachusetts. Before we even get to the facts of the case, let's talk about how the story came out. This was pretty expertly managed in your assessment, no?
Well, just a matter of pure politics. The president's team had a problem. There was yet another bad unemployment number. And, you know, again, not a partisan statement or of criticism from them for the Obama campaign, but just, again, as a matter of pure politics, they very masterfully did a couple things. One is they did paid advertising on the matter to sort of stir things up that way in the battleground states. But the other thing they did is they've had a very good research operation for a long time. They learned little facts like, you know, about these documents and about other news accounts that suggest Governor Romney might have had some more involvement with Bain than he suggested. And they parceled those things out to news organizations and websites in a way to keep the story really very much in the news, to keep Governor Romney on the offensive. And their goal was threefold. One was to take the tension away from discussions of the president's economic record. Two was to try to rattle Governor Romney, to try to get inside his head and make him react badly in public events and in news interviews. And three was to try to find a hook into a discussion of Governor Romney's record at Bain Capital. They very much want to try to eliminate Governor Romney as an acceptable choice in the minds of voters by presenting his record as a venture capitalist in negative terms. And it's hard to get the press interested in the story because it has been around for a long time, including in January when some Republicans raised it. And they were very confident in the president's campaign and the White House that they had sat on enough material, and they're still sitting on more, that could get the press re-energized and re-interested in this part of the story.
Let me ask you about the second part of the 3 points you said. Get Romney to react poorly. A week ago, he did, I think, 6 interviews in one day. What's your assessment of how he did pushing back on the story?
I think he reacted poorly. I think his temperament wasn't great. And look, one thing about this that I should say is I think it is, based on my reporting and the others that I've seen, it's largely a bogus point. His name did remain on some forms. There are press accounts that indicated that he engaged in some Bain-related activities, but when he left to do the Olympics, there's no evidence that anyone has brought forward. If there is, I'd love to see it. But there's no evidence that anyone's brought forward that he ran Bain Capital or had any management role after he left, despite his name for legal purposes staying on the form some of the government filings. So it's all a straw man. It's all to sort of make Mitt Romney prove a negative. In the last week or so, you've seen some of his former partners at Bain Capital come forward, including some Democrats, and say, Governor Romney's correct. He did not run the company from 1999 when he left to do the Olympics until his separation agreement was negotiated in 2002. The fact that it's a straw man, the fact that it's basically a bogus allegation, has not diminished the success the Obama campaign has had in making this an issue to block out the news cycle and also to discombobulate Governor Romney.
Agreeing with you is John Dickerson, who writes for Slate as a political director of CBS. Quote, so far the Obama 2012 campaign has no evidence that Romney made any substantive decisions about outsourcing or anything else after February 1999, when the bulk of the outsourcing took place. This line of attack is not aimed at figuring out whether Romney's past practices reveal what type of president he would make. It is an effort to discredit him. However, I would say, and the Obama surrogates have said, that he should be made to twist in the wind a little bit just on the issue of running for governor of Massachusetts, when he did say he used time after 1999 to say, I was back in Massachusetts on Bain business. So he's kind of having it both ways on that, at least.
Well, I'm not sure he used the phrase on Bain business.
Mm-hmm.
He was back in Massachusetts at least sometime helping companies on whose board he sat. But he did, again, there's no evidence. There may be some that comes forward eventually. But there's no evidence that in his time back in Massachusetts or telephonically or any other way, there wasn't much email back then during this period, that he played a role in running the company in any way, including in the areas of investments that might have related to outsourcing. So it is true that some of the statements he made to try to sort of qualify himself to run for governor of Massachusetts has kind of the flavor of the suggestion that he was running Bain. And it is true that his name appears in signature on form suggesting that titularly he was still the president and CEO of the company. But I'll say again, what would matter from a substantive point of view or even from a credibility point of view was he running Bain Capital? Was he making decisions about personnel or investments or management of the company? And there's no evidence that he was. I'll go back to the first thing I said, though. Very masterfully, the president's campaign knew how to manipulate the news cycle, how to craft paid advertising to keep Governor Romney on the defensive on this issue. As a political analyst, I take my hat off to their skill. But in our politics, the truth should matter some.
Some,
and,
yes.
and the ability to drive the news cycle, along with the tax return question, which we haven't discussed yet, but the ability to drive the news cycle for a fortnight with at least one issue that's, as best I can tell, a nearly completely bogus issue is an impressive achievement, but one that I don't think is particularly good for our political discourse.
Right. The best arguments and the best politics sometimes have nothing to do with each other. Here's Rahm Emanuel. Let's pay attention to the last sentence he said when he was on ABC This Week with his former colleague George Stephanopoulos.
Mitt Romney said Bain Capital is his calling card for why he should be president. He doesn't talk about Massachusetts as governor. He doesn't talk about any other piece. He says, I created jobs at Bain Capital. And everything in that ad is documented by newspaper clips.
And he's talking about an ad where they played Mitt Romney singing God Bless America. And yeah, there are a lot of newspaper clips or at least just headlines of things that seem bad that Romney did with Bain. And I think what's funny about Rahm Emanuel saying, hey, look at the newspaper clips, is that those clips were not necessarily planted, but wouldn't have been there without the efforts of the Obama campaign. So it's they put the clips, they whisper into the ears of the reporters. The reporters write a story, perhaps provide context, but then they justify a political ad based on the stories written.
They're like little Keebler elves at their assembly line. I mean, look, both parties do it. And one reason some Republicans are unsettled now is not because Governor Romney's collapsed in the polls. There's not much evidence that he has, maybe
right.
Even to the contrary, since all this started. It's because that is the way the game is played. You described just now very, very elegantly a very important part of the process. You come up with some opposition research. You figure out what news organization or website to give to. Then you trumpet their news product in a way to give yourself the credibility, more effective than a campaign bringing it forward themselves. Both sides do it, but it is also the case that while I think the issue of whether he was running Bain Capital is a bogus one, there are other issues about his personal investments and about the way Bain conducted itself that I don't think anyone reasonable would deny can and should be part of the campaign. They've chosen to seize on something that I don't think fits that, but they've had great success in it and getting people to talk about it rather than the president's record on the economy, which is where Republicans want to go and where they clearly have their best chance to win if that's the focus.
Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer. We're speaking with Mark Halperin, Times senior political analyst. The phrase swift boating came up in relation to this Bain controversy. And of course, there's a lot of debate. Wait a minute. Swift boating was a lie. The people who believe in this line of attack will say this is true. Let's put that aside. I think why it might be similar to swift boating is that, A, our minds go to the last most recent political campaign. So there have been tons of examples of this going back to, you know, probably Millard Fillmore and before. But swift boating, one of the interesting pieces of jujitsu is to use a candidate's strength against him. So it is perceived that Mitt Romney's experience as a private equity guru is a strength. The Washington Post interviewed Jeff Garin, who's a pollster for Priorities USA, an Obama polling firm, essentially, or at least sympathetic to the Obama campaign. And here's how Jeff Garin puts it. Once people have learned that Romney was willing to fire workers and terminate health and pension benefits while taking tens of millions out of companies, they're much more ready to understand that Romney would indeed cut Social Security and Medicare to give tax breaks to rich people like himself. This provides a foundation to build the core policy critique against Romney. This is part of what's going on in this, the core policy critique against Romney.
I'll say as clearly as I can, that issue that Jeff Garin raised of Governor Romney and his partners, in some cases, not in all cases, but in some cases, making very tidy profits from firms that then went out of business, sometimes years later, sometimes after Bain was no longer involved. But there are cases, a handful of cases, where they could have done more for the laid-off workers. What I have said is, as I look at his record at Bain, I can see a few instances where Governor Romney and his partners could have said, you know what, we took a lot of money out of this company. We got paid fees to do a takeover and to manage a company. We got money. We took money out after we had control of the company, distributed amongst ourselves. Then the company had trouble, and people got laid off. Maybe we should give a donation. Maybe we should invest in some worker retraining. Maybe we should find a way to keep a local community from being devastated by bringing another business there. Certainly weren't required to do that by law. It certainly is not part of the ethos of venture capital, where the goal is to make money and not to create jobs. But they could have done that in those cases. Other than that, I think most of what the criticism of Bain Capital that's come from the Democrats are things that many companies do, including many companies run by and profiting from and have profited by people who support the president, maybe even people who work for the president. So there are some issues there, but Democrats have done a good job of really widening out the net and saying, again, this speaks to Mitt Romney's credibility and to his character and what kind of president he would be.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that it's his time at Bain is now more liability than asset? I mean, that's what the Democrats would like to happen.
I'd say if you just look at the news coverage, that's the case. If you look at some of the polling, that's the case. I think for the voters who will decide this election, swing voters in swing states, they haven't paid much attention yet. The Republicans would argue that this is the president and his campaign putting focus on Governor Romney's success in the private sector effectively, and that in the end it won't matter. I think there's no doubt that the extent that the president has a chance to win this, it's to do what was done to John Kerry. You can call it swift boating or not, but he must eliminate Mitt Romney as an acceptable choice for a lot of Americans that disqualify him as a potential president. And I would say that so far, the way they've made the most progress in that essential project is by talking about his record at Bain. So I'd say today it's a net negative, but it's something Governor Romney, I think, can still potentially turn around. But Democrats have done a very effective job of highlighting the aspects, thematic and substantive, of his record at Bain Capital that a lot of voters don't like.
Well, let's talk about one of the things that the Romney campaign has seized upon. The president gave a speech a few days ago. There was a phrase in that speech that went unnoticed at the time and then was picked up on. Here is the phrase that we're going to listen to at the end is, if you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. But let's listen to what he said before that line.
If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Now, when I heard that, I thought he meant if you've got a business, you didn't build those roads and bridges. But a lot of people don't think that's what he meant. Here's Mitt Romney putting Obama's quote in context quite helpfully.
Now, I know that there's some people who think what the president said was just a gaffe. It wasn't a gaffe. It was instead his ideology. The president does, in fact, believe that people who build enterprises like this really aren't responsible for it. But in fact, it's a collective success of the whole society that somehow builds enterprises like this. In my view, we ought to have to celebrate people who start enterprises and employ other people.
So, Mark Halperin of Time Magazine, you think this is a lot of nothing or a little of something?
I'm as disgusted by this and the conduct of the Romney campaign and the media as I was when Democrats and the media were doing this to Governor Romney. This country has so many big challenges now, at home and abroad. To take a line of the president's, which clearly meant what you said it meant, which was people don't build their own roads and bridges, and we do some things collectively in this country, and turn it into an indictment of Barack Obama for not believing in free enterprise, I think it's silly. And when it works, it only encourages both sides to continue to do it. There's a real issue here that some more reasonable Republicans and people in the media have pointed out, which is the president probably does support a greater role for government in the federal government, including of spending more money, of having more of things done in a collective nature than Governor Romney does. And I think both as a philosophical matter and on some specific examples, that's a fine debate to have. But for the Republicans to distort this and for the press to willingly follow along, again, just like when the Democrats were doing it to Governor Romney, I denounce this in the strongest terms because it's clogging up the bandwidth we have to talk about what would they do about Syria? What would they do about the budget deficit? What would they do about health care? These are important discussions. We're running out of time. And when we spend days, even hours, whatever, weeks, on taking one side, taking the other thing out of context, then debating, is it out of context? Is it a good political strategy? Really, really annoys me about what's going on in America, in our media, and in our politics.
And let me just say that Obama speech, he was riffing off the cuff, but it harkened back to a speech that was given by Elizabeth Warren, who's the Democratic candidate for Senate in Massachusetts, where she essentially said the same thing, perhaps a little more eloquently, that you didn't build the roads and you didn't educate all your workers, and that got her a lot of attention at the time. It's clear to me that Obama at least heard that message. I want to ask you, Mark Halperin, we've been talking about all these things that you decry, all these minuscule, picayune points. Any good arguments raised by either campaign in the last week that you want to highlight?
Not really. I mean, look, the president talked about Medicare in Florida yesterday, and I think some of his argument is worth focusing on because they do have a philosophical difference about how to have the Medicare program for older Americans. But it was done in a way that was distorted to some extent, not entirely. I don't think we've been covered in glory here in the last couple of weeks. So no, there's not a thing I would say is a true sort of debate from long distance between these two candidates in not just in the last 2 weeks, but not very much since the general election was effectively joined.
That's kind of unbelievable, and at the same time, not at all surprising. Mark Halperin, Time senior political analyst, editor at large, co-author of Game Change. Can't wait to read the. Oh, by the way, congratulations! That was nominated for an Emmy. Right?
12 Emmys, actually.
12 Emmys.
12 Emmys. We're very excited. HBO did a great job with the film, and it's nice to have it recognized.
Well, way to go. Thanks very much for joining us, Mark.
Thank you.
And coming up in a moment, we'll be speaking about New York's up and down employment numbers. Stay with us.